message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amosan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Us in Jesus' name, and the church will shout a big
amen.
Ephesians 4 and verse 11. I have to do a quick quantum. It's fast print already. We're beginning a new series today for the month of November. A new series that I titled, of course, for those of you who follow me on social media, you have an idea what I'm teaching, right? I think you need to put on this for everybody. Okay. Ephesians 4. For those of you who follow me on social media, you have an idea what we're going to be teaching throughout this month, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Can you chorus it?
In Him.
Come on, say it louder.
In Him.
In Him. If you're not following me on social media, boy. You are forgiven.
Yeah.
All right. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, really? For how long will this happen? How long would this ministry gift keep edifying the body of Christ? So how long? He tells us in verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, in unity of the faith, that doesn't mean that all the Christians all over the world are going to come under the umbrella of one church. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says that we all come in the unity of the faith and the I taught you TSK principle in hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation. And there is not a conjunct. And there means that is. So that means till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Unity of the faith that is. Unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that means God wants us to unite in knowledge. He doesn't want us to have different shades of ideology. He doesn't want us to be wafted about by every wind of doctrine. He wants us to have a unified knowledge about the Son of God. He doesn't want the Son of God to be presented with someone who has mixed profiles. Like men, somebody preaching him as somebody who kills and makes alive. Another person is preaching him as one who gives life alone. That's like giving mixed profile. But no, he wants us to have a unified knowledge. He wants us to have a rounded, you know, complete, exact knowledge of God. He has a new slate. He's a new creation. Because James 1 verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of a first fruit. Somebody say first fruit. Somebody say first fruit. Say it again. First fruit of his creature. That means we never exist before. We are new species. We are not, the believer is not a facelifted Christian. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You are a new creation. The sinner that was saved by grace has been recreated. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like unto a man that finds a treasure in the field, and he, for joy, he goes to sell all he has to buy the field. So that field has been redeemed. But you are more than redeemed in the literal meaning of redeemed. There's a broader definition for redemption. But the literal meaning of redeemed, that means a ransom, a price paid. You are more than that because he bought the old field and then he recreated you. It's like in chemistry, you know, there's a reaction we call irreversible reaction. If you burn paper to ashes, it's an irreversible reaction where the product can never be reversed to the reactant. So the arrow will never give you two arrows like this. It's just, you know, it's an exothermic permanent reaction. So 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So in Him, you are a new creation. That's the number one thing I want you to learn today. Say, in Him.
In Him.
I am a new creation. So in him, we are new creatures. We are new creatures in him. In him. Number two, in him, we are the righteousness of God. Oh, I like this. In him, we are new creation one. Number two, in him, we are the righteousness of God. Listen, you cannot be righteous outside Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not possible. In Romans, the Bible told us about a man, a Roman centurion. The Bible says he was a devout man. In the book of Acts, he wasn't saved. Even though he was a devout man. In the book of Romans 10, the Bible says, Apostle Paul was praying for the Israelites. He says, my prayer for Israel is that they will be saved. He says, because I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they have gone to establish, they're trying to build for themselves a kind of righteousness. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5, go to verse 21 quickly. Verse 21. He says, for he has made him, that is Christ, to be sin for us. That means he became our sin. And look at it. Who knew no sin? That means he was not a sinful man. He was without sin. He committed no sin. But he became sin for us. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God. In whom?
In
come on, say in him.
In him.
So your confession, therefore, had to be, because I am in him, therefore, Christ has been made unto me righteousness. So therefore, I am the righteousness of God. In whom?
In
him. In him. We're talking about in him realities. These are your realities. This is who you are. This is what you got. This is what your new nature features. Are you hearing me? This is who you are. You are now righteous, not because of the right things you have done, but because of what Christ has done for you. When you came into Christ, God ceases to see you as you. He begins to see you through the eyes of Jesus. So if Jesus is right before God, you are right before God. Why? Because you are in him. You are in him. Did somebody eat rice today? Anybody? You did eat rice today? Can I see the rice? Why can't I see the rice? Eh? He's inside you, right? You see that? You are in him. Say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
Oh, say, I'm holy.
I'm holy.
I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm set apart.
I'm set apart.
In him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Say, I'm in him.
I'm in
him. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You are in him. And it's a present hour reality. Your gender isn't something you're trying to be. Forget all those ones who are delusional. All right? I don't care if you like try to change your name to Bob. And it's risky if you don't know what I'm talking about. All right? And go get some balls. Try to put some breasts. The thing is, you're a man. That's why it is called woman. Womb man. Woman. Womb man. You don't get womb, you're a man. You can't be an hermaphrodite. You're either a man or a woman. Somebody asking me, are you a man? I'm a man. Can you see that? It's my reality. And listen, I am a male child as much as I was when I was a day old. I didn't grow to become a male child. If I was born a girl child, I had the inherent, in chemistry, they call it latent ability to be a woman, to be a mother. I may not have developed those abilities yet because I need to grow up. But guess what? It ain't changed anything. I'm a female child. In the same vein, it makes no difference. If you got born again today, you are as righteous as Baba Adeboye. Listen, let me shock you. If you got born again today, you are as righteous as Jesus. Why? Because you are. So the things that are his reality becomes yours. Not by your own effort. You've been declared righteous. That's the meaning of the word justify. In the book of Romans 5 verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1. The Bible tells us, it says, therefore being justified by faith. When you placed your faith in Jesus, he looked beyond your shame, he looked beyond your sorrow, he looked beyond your past. When you placed your faith in Jesus, you were made righteous. You are declared righteous. You are justified. Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. He says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are enemies of God. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Zion. We had no relationship with him. We were cut off from him. We had nothing to do with him. He was apart from us. We were apart from him. But when we came into Christ, we now had peace with God. The big wall of say it again. So now, in him, we have peace with God. And guess what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, it says, Christ is made unto you wisdom, righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. So he is my righteousness. Now, when you read scripture, especially the Torah, the old covenant, every time you see certain blessings attached to righteousness, pay attention. For instance, every time you see scriptures in the Old Testament and you see certain promises that places demands on righteousness, those privileges, those rights are yours, not because of you, but because you are now. You're getting it now. I'll give you an instance. Project Proverbs 4 verse 18. This is just a preamble. I don't start teaching. I'm just prepping you. But don't worry. We'll close the right time we need to close. We're going to continue next week. That's why it is called series. Amen. You notice in this church, we hardly teach single message.
Yes, sir.
We hardly teach single message because if you want a bit topical teaching, the Bible is rich. I can keep you here by the grace of God. I don't make boasts in the flesh. I can keep you teaching you from Genesis to Revelation. We can do 1 year camp meeting. I'm telling you. You'll just be going, you will take coffee, you eat dinner, you go and take your bait, you rest, you come back, we'll continue teaching. Mama Kwenise. I will feed you with Christ. You wake up. Glory to God forevermore. Are they preaching?
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching good?
Yes, sir.
Good. Look at it. It says, but the path of the just. Wait. The path of the just, that means someone justified. Someone declared righteous. For the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. Question, are you justified?
Yes, sir.
Now, don't be too quick to answer. Open to 1 Corinthians 6, let's see. Open to 1 Corinthians 6, let's see. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Because he just told us that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the path of day. So let's look at it. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10. nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Brethren, you see, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, don't stop there. Go to the next verse.
Yes, sir.
He says, and such were, somebody say where.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Now I see why English is a compulsory subject.
Yeah.
He says, in such way, so you are not a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
You are a new creation.
Yeah.
All things are passed away.
Yeah.
All things have become new. Can you shout amen, somebody?
Yeah.
He says, and such were some of you, but you are what?
Washed.
Somebody say, I'm washed.
I'm washed.
But you are what?
Justified.
But you are what?
Justified.
How are you justified? How? In the midst. Are you in him?
Yes.
You are justified.
Yes.
That means that promise that says the path of the just is like a shining light becomes your own present hour reality. Why? Because you've been justified. Say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
Proverbs 28. Let's check another thing about. We're talking about righteousness. We've spoken about, number one, we are new creation in him. Number two, we are the righteousness of God in him. So now we're trying to look at the scriptures that attach righteousness as a criterion to receive certain blessings in the whole covenant. If that is true, then they become our own present, our reality. They are no longer a promise for us because we are. Now you see why David in Psalms 32 makes a statement. He says, how blessed is the man in whom God imputes no iniquity. David saw your day and he wished he was in your day. We are in the best days, brothers.
Yes,
stop trying to be jealous of David. You were better than him.
Yes.
Guess what? The biggest man, the greatest man, the most righteous human, the greatest human being that ever lived in the old covenant. His name, he is John Zacharias, the son of Zachariah. Jesus said, of all man born of the womb, none is as great as John the Baptist. He now says, yet, in the kingdom of God, the least is greater than he. That means if you got born again today, you were bigger than John the Baptist. Yet, John the Baptist was greater than Elijah, greater than Moses, greater than all the prophets put together. And there's a reason, because he looked in the book of John 1:39. It says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away sins of the world. That made him superior above other prophets. Yet, the Bible says, the least in this kingdom is greater than he. Say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
Say it again.
I'm in him.
Proverbs 28, quickly. We're looking at righteousness. You've been made right with God. Can we all read Proverbs 28 verse 1 together? 3, 2, go! The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
But the righteous are bold as a lion.
Anytime you catch yourself being afraid, just know you're not acting righteous. Because the righteous is going to be as bold as a lion. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. There is no fear in you. Listen, let me tell you, there is no fountain producing fear in the believer.
Yes, sir.
Your source of fear are from the environment. You remember Peter?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When Jesus was walking on water, Peter said, Master, if it be you, bid me come. And the master says, come. And the Bible said, Peter took his leg, first leg. I'm sure Bartholomew will say, hey, Peter, don't try it. I can watch Andrew saying, oh, we're going to lose Peter today. Peter is about to die. But Peter took the second leg and he came out. The Bible says, Peter began to walk on water to go to Jesus. But scripture says, now as he turned and looked and he saw the wind boisterous, he began to fear and he began to sink. So fear came from the environment, the things he saw. The Al Jazeera news you've been seeing. The African magic movie, they've been telling you how all men has come. Now, so all men be. All those fears, they come to you. They shoot into your mind. They make you see life in a different perspective. They try to impose the modus operandi of the world and the culturescape of the world into your mind. They try to give you a worldview that is completely alien to the worldview that the Bible presents. They try to shape your mind. They make you to see things in a perspective that is alien to the word of God. And that's why the Bible says that you should be renewed in your mind. That be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. And fear has torment. 1 John 4:19. Fear has torment. How many of you here when you were a kid, you've been attacked by a dog before? Now, did you remember before the dog come close to you, you were already pooing in your body. The dog has not come close to you. You see, let me tell you, that's how fear works. It makes you coward before it. But that's not supposed to be the experience of the righteous man. There is no fountain producing fear in the believer. That's why you got to take this thing I'm sharing with you, believe it, meditate on it. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them. Be lost in these things. Consume these things. Eat it in your mouth. Think it all the time. Meditate on it. Mutter on it. Ponder on it. Roar with it. And it says, then your profiting will appear to all. Your profiting will appear to all. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I am bold as a lion.
Oh,
listen, when you... I was watching Nigel White some weeks ago. And I see lion. They saw a big buffalo. And I was thinking in my mind, what is wrong with these cats? You know, lion is a cat.
Yes, sir.
And you see something almost 10 times bigger than you. You're not afraid? Listen, let me tell you. Look up, everybody. Lion is not the strongest. Lion is not the wisest. The wisest animal is elephant. It has the greatest instinct. In fact, in those days, before, when they want to build bridge, they will make an elephant to cross that bridge to see if that bridge can carry anybody, if that bridge will not break. When they bring an elephant, because elephant is the most intelligent animal, when the elephant gets to the bridge, if it goes back, that means that bridge is going to collapse. Very brilliant. Let me tell you, elephants, if some story was told that some elephants were going, you know, they go in packs. As they were going, then a particular hunter, they shot at them, they killed some of them, and then they escaped. They came back 10 days later to scatter the house. They spotted very intelligent animal. So lion is not the most intelligent. Lion doesn't have the best eyesight. Eagle has. Lion is not the fastest. Cheetah can run faster than that. So what made lion different? I will tell you, lion dares. It dares. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart. So when a lion sees an elephant, the first thing that comes to his mouth, in his mind, is, this is a lunch.
Yeah.
And guess what? Who you are and what you think and what you perceive of yourself in your mind becomes your experience. And guess what? The elephant becomes lunch indeed. There's no fear here. All right, let's get another one. Psalms 5. I like this one. Oh, I got 10 more minutes. I got to run. Okay, let's get it. Psalms 5 and verse 12. Boy, I like this. Psalms 5 and verse 12. I got to run now. He says, can we all read Psalms 5 and verse 12? Everybody, let's read together, everybody. 3, 2, go. Louder. Psalms Someone say, I'm righteous. Therefore, I am encompassed by God's favor. So it becomes my confession. I'm the righteousness of God. I am as bold as a lion. I'm the righteousness of God. There is no fear in me. I'm the righteousness of God. See, you know what righteousness means? Righteousness means the right to stand before God without any sense of guilt or inferiority. Oh, I love the way E.W. Kenyon defines this. He tweaked it. He says, righteousness means the right to stand against Satan with a sense of superiority. You can stand before God without feeling dirty, without feeling guilty. Stop all this nonsense prayer. Oh God, we are nothing before you, oh God. We are nothing but pencil. Who made you pencil? God himself says you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. Hiya. When you are doing those kind of, you think you are being pious. Oh God, I know I'm nobody before you. Oh God, I know. Angels are touching themselves. Is this guy okay? Because they are looking at you and they are seeing that you look like the person they are serving in heaven. And they are looking. Is this not the Son of God? Say, I'm in him. James 5. Let's check another one quickly. I'll close here. James 5. James 5. Some of you don't have feet. I said I will close now, and then you are like, So people are swallowing their sputum. Pastor, we close now. When pastor says I will close now, he just began. But trust me, I've changed now. I've repented. Somebody say amen. Correct. All right. Look at James 5. Let's look at James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, I can do a whole teaching on that, okay? But not today. He says, that ye may be healed. Then he says, the effectual fervent prayer of, somebody say, a righteous man availeth much. So that means, wow, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now he says the criteria for having a prevailing fervent, because the word availeth much here in originals means, you know, tremendous in its working, dynamite, power producing prayer. So all it takes to produce prayer that brings results is to be a righteous man. That means this has to change my posture in the place of prayer. I am not to pray like a beggar. I am to approach the throne of grace like a son indeed. I have a new posture. I'm talking to my daddy. I am not an employee trying to get a raise in finances from his boss. I am a son demanding from the daddy. The protocol is different. I'm not trying to see secretary to help me talk to the PA. No. I'm not saying Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me. No. I'm not saying St. Peter, pray for us. St. James, no. No. In John 16:23, Jesus says, in that day, you will not ask me to pray for you to the Father, because the Father himself loveth you. I'm not praying through Jesus. No. I'm not saying through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. No. No. I'm not praying through Jesus. I am in Jesus. I'm talking to the Father. The Father responds to me as though he's responding to the Son. I am. Huh? Come. Come, sweetheart. Come. Shadrach, come. Okay? Now, this is God, just for example. Now, this is Jesus. All right? This is God. All right? If I'm talking to God through Jesus, that means I'll say, please, let me talk to the Father. Yeah? Please, let me talk to the Father. But, guess what? When I got born again, I and Jesus are now one. So now I am talking to the Father in the stead of Jesus. So the Father is not seeing me, so to speak. Because he is the head. We are the body. Your identity card, which part of your body is on your identity card? Your face, because that's your identity. If Jesus is the head and we are the body, that means Jesus is our identity. So when I pray to the Father, it's a direct line. No trying to reach, no PA, no trying to say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Even Mary too had to be saved. Yes, he had to call Jesus my Lord. Yes, and by the way, for your information, Jesus, Mary never remained a virgin after Jesus. Uncle Joe didn't spare her. She had four boys and many ladies, many girls. Go and read Mark 6 from verse 3 to 6. The Bible says, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Uncle Joe was a good man. Let's celebrate them. Please go to your seat. Look at this. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. Listen, in my name does not mean just a suffix or a prefix that we apply or some kind of Christian calisthenics that we add into prayer. No. In my name means in my stead. It's like, for example, now, if you go to the bank and I give you my check and I write some amount of money to you, when you take it to the bank, you are going there to cash the money in my stead, in my name. That's the meaning of in my name. So he says, go to verse 26. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Speed on your leg. You bear fruit in season. Now, at that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In other words, I didn't tell you I'm going to be praying to the Father for you. Why? Let's go. Why? For the Father himself. Because ye loved me and have believed that I came out from God. When you believe Jesus, you became one with him. The Father himself loved you as much as he loves Jesus. Are you trying to argue that in your mind? Go to the next chapter. Go to the next chapter. Let me show you. John 17. John 17. Quickly, quickly, John 17 and verse 21. Look at it. Look at it. He says that, this is Jesus talking. He says that they all may be one, as thou Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Let's go. 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Let's go, 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that what? Thou hast sent me. And what? And hast loved them. How have you loved them? As thou. He loved you the way he loved the Son. This is simple mathematics. If you go to the restaurant, not even restaurant, if you go to a mall and you see a price tag on an item, what they are telling you is that the monetary equivalent of that item is what is attached as a price tag. True? Yes. Come on, talk to me. True? Yes. So if I see a bread and they wrote on the bread 1,000 naira, I got my 1,000, but I want to get the bread. Oh, I like the bread, but I don't want to leave my 1,000. I like the bread, but I have my 1,000. But I have 1,000, but the tag is 1,000. But I want the bread. Oh, if I want the bread, I got to drop the 1,000. Now, when I drop the 1,000 and I pick the bread, what they just told me is that that bread I just took with me is the equivalent in monetary term of that 1,000 naira. Now, question. What did the Father relinquish to have you? He gave his Son to get you. And let me tell you, if it was only you that was in this world, Jesus would have still come to die for you. So your value is Jesus. Are you chewing on that? Let me show you. Open to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Quickly. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Pay attention, everybody. Look up, everyone. Look up. 1 Peter 1. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by your tradition from your fathers. That means you were not redeemed. You were not ransomed. You were not bought with money, with gold. What were you bought with? Let's go. But with the precious. Now, hold on. Let's dismantle this. The precious blood of Christ. This is a figure of speech. It doesn't mean that Jesus squeezed his blood inside bowl to buy you. Now, blood is a figure of speech for death. For example, if they say, that guy, the blood of 10 people is on his head. What does that mean? He has killed 10 people. So when they say the blood of Jesus, what do they mean? The death of Jesus. So he now says, but with the death, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's your price. That's your value. So when you approach God in prayer, he sees you through the eyes of Jesus. So prayer should be stressless for the new man. There's a new posture to take in prayer. That's why he says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you from the Amplified Version. Amplified Version tells us, he says, look at it. He says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued, oh, thank you, God. No, I'm talking about James 5, 16. Let me project it. Thank you very much. James 5, 16. He says, confess to one another, therefore, your fault leaves, first head, and offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now, that explains it a lot because I don't want to talk about it today because of time. But here's where I'm going. He says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its work. Your prayer is effective. Your prayer is powerful.
Yes, sir.
From today, this revelation, what it does to you is, it gives you confidence.
Yes, sir.
Now you begin to pray now in the posture of a son.
Yeah.
In the posture of a daughter.
Yeah.
You're talking to your daddy. And then you're going to get results because your prayer makes power available.
Yes,
praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm a righteous man.
Say, I'm a righteous man.
Say, I'm a righteous man. Look at the words of Jesus. John 11, 41. Then we close. John 11, 41. Look at it. John 11, 41. John 11, 41. Glory to God forevermore. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you what? 42. Yes, I know. You what? What kind of, this Jesus said, what kind of mindset? So he prays with the understanding that God hears him. God has heard him. Why? Because he's righteous. And guess what? You are.
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
Look at it. I know you always hear and listen to me, but I have said this on account. Give it to me, King James. Too much English here. I knew that you hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. For the three. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! What happened in the next verse 44? And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. He made that declaration in the understanding that God always hear him. Say, God always hear me.
God always hear me.
Why? Because you are in whom?
In
who?
In
are you in Christ?
Yeah.
Shout hallelujah!
Yeah.
Rise on your feet. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm in him.
I'm in him.
He's in me.
He's in me.
I'm alive to God. Say, I'm alive to God. Say, I'm alive to God.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.